So this is Romans chapter 1, the first 17 verses, reading from our usual New King James Version. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You've heard people ask the question, do you want the good news first or the bad news? Well, the bad news at the moment is the world is in a right turmoil. You've only got to turn on the television and put the news on. You very rarely hear good news. You've only got to open your papers. There's no very rarely good news. There's often very much scandal in them. The good news? Well, Paul mentions that, doesn't he? In the Bible. That's where you find the good news. In that book. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation for everyone who believes. That's in verse 16. So important that the risen Lord Jesus commissioned the disciples, didn't he? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Or as the NIV puts it, go into all the world and preach the good news. It means the same. The gospel means good news. And preaching the gospel is one of the priorities in this church here. Because we are a gospel-believing church, we are a Bible-believing church, and we long to for people to hear what the Lord has to say, the good news that we find in the Bible. True church, church comprising people who have genuinely accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and who have asked him to come into their lives because of the sin that they have been forgiven. The preaching of the gospel should lead to other things as well. I don't know whether any of you watch Songs of Praise, but from time to time they visit churches, usually in the cities or in the larger towns, churches that are doing good in the community. They're possibly providing meals to those living on their own, providing fellowship for those living on their own, providing food parcels for people who were very hard up at the time. Why do they do this? What I like to think is because the Lord has given him this commission as true believers to help other people. Don't forget that the Lord Jesus Christ said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But then he goes on to say, you should love your neighbour as yourself. So I like to think, and I'm sure it's right, that these people do this good because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, which comes first in their lives. The good news, the gospel. And it's accepting of the gospel in its entirety, the good news, that will bring people into a true salvation, eternal relationship with God. That's what salvation is. In this passage that we've read, the word gospel is found four times. In the NIV, it's six times. Because in the King James and New King James, it refers to it as this or it. So, what do we know about this gospel? Well, it originates with God. It says in verse 1, the gospel of God. Gospel of God. So what Paul is or even from some of the churches he's preached at, it's come directly to him from God. It's the gospel of God. He didn't make it up himself. And it tells us this gospel, that God, good news is of salvation. God has provided salvation through the life, death, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a message that God will forgive sin. God will deliver a person from the power of sin. And he'll give you a hope that is eternal. So it's good news that originates with God, because God is good. We also read in verse 2 that it was promised by God. Years beforehand in the Old Testament, we read the gospel of God, which God promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Through the prophets, look what we read in the prophecy of Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. We sing that, don't we, sometimes? Who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, that's good news. Who proclaim salvation. That's in the NIV version. And it's preached by Isaiah. It was also preached by other prophets as well. And Isaiah says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He's put him to grief. That's the Lord Jesus Christ he's talking about. It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. The well-known hymn we sing at Easter, isn't it? There is a green hill far away. Says he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. And he goes on to say there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He's the only one who could do that. Why? Because he's the only one who was truly perfect in every way. If he had not been perfect, he'd have been dying for his own sin. But he doesn't. He's perfect. So he's dying for other people's sins, our sins. But Paul also mentions in the book of the letter to the Galatians that it was preached to Abraham many thousands of years earlier. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. We read that in Genesis chapter 3. When Paul was speaking to King Agrippa, before, as he was approaching the end of his time of ministry, he says, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Showing once again, it's not something he's made up. It's something that was promised. You can read all about Christ's suffering, really, in the Old Testament in Psalm 22. Very, very full account. It's also a powerful message. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. Now, I'm not an academic, but I understand that the Greek word that the word gospel comes from is the same word that we get our word dynamite from. And we know how powerful dynamite can be. So it's a message of power. John MacArthur, in the study Bible I have at home, he says, although the message may sound foolish to some, which is his scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the gospel is effective because it carries with it the omnipotence of God, the all-powerfulness of God. So it's only God's power that could overcome the sinful nature. Your right hand was, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. Exodus 15. We read as well in the book of Job. His wisdom is profound. God, that is, his wisdom. His power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed? That's how powerful the gospel can be. Well, how it is. Fourthly, it's a message about the love of God. We read in verse 5. Through him, the him, we're told in verse 4, is the Son of God. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience. And also it says in verse 7, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, God's love to undeserving sinners. We also read it in Romans chapter 5, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So it's a powerful message. It's a message of love. Putin thinks he has power. He certainly does at the moment, but he hasn't got any love. Jesus told us in what is probably the most well-known verse in the New Testament, if not the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Paul reiterates that and says, God demonstrates his love toward us. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And Paul tells us that he was given the task by Jesus to testify to this gospel. The gospel of God's grace, God's unconditional love. And what that unconditional love caused the Lord Jesus Christ to do for us. Fifthly, we read this in verse 9, it's about a person. It's the gospel of his Son. In chapter 15, it's called the gospel of Christ. It's about a message about the one person who is, who was, and who is to come. The Almighty, Revelation chapter 1. And going right back, who was, right back to the beginning of time. God said, let us make man in our image. Our being the three people of the Trinity. He's present today. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, Christ lives in me. So he lives in the heart of all true believers. According to John MacArthur, it's a privilege to have the indwelling Christ. So, we read in Romans chapter 8, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Two verses there. And in those two verses, there's one word that appears three times. Very small word, if. It has a lot of meaning, that word if. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you've got to let him. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, well, I hope he does, we do. But if Christ is in you, so it's Christ and the Holy Spirit working together in the lives of believers, if we have him there. The writer of the Hebrews says, he always lives to make intercession for those who come to God through him. It's a gospel of separation. Paul tells us in verse 1, he is separated to the gospel of God, set apart for the gospel of God. Think of what Paul was like before his conversion. He had one aim in life, didn't he? And that was to destroy the Christian church. He also wanted to gain prominence in his chosen profession. But then on the way to Damascus that day, he was stopped in his tracks. The Lord met him, chose him to leave that life behind him and do a specific work for him. And that was to serve him, to be a preacher amongst the Gentiles. At that meeting, Paul was told to go to Damascus, and then he would be told what to do after that. And it was a few days later that the Lord appeared to a man called Ananias, a believer living in Damascus there. And he told him to visit Paul. Well, how would you feel if you were in that situation? All he'd heard about Paul, he hadn't heard about the conversion to start with. All he'd heard about Paul was that he was a thoroughly evil man trying to destroy Christians, the Christian church, trying to make a name for himself with power and authority. So he put up these objections. I don't want to go there. You can't send me there. But God said, yes. Everything's going to be all right. You'll be safe with him. Because he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear the good my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Chosen instrument. So following that conversion, Paul's life changed completely. That's what God wants from each one of us. Those who are not Christians, who have not accepted the Lord as Saviour, he wants you to change. It did for Paul. Afterwards in Rome, in Philippians chapter 1, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I like the New Living Translation's version of this. It says, For to me, living means living for Christ. And dying is even better. I like that way they put that. It's good news that requires those to accept it to change their whole attitude to life, put Christ above and before everything and everyone else. It's a gospel to be preached. Paul said in verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. He's eager to preach the gospel. He preached the gospel to anybody who'd hear him. And he did it within days of his conversion. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God, Acts chapter 9. So he preached whenever he had the opportunity, as I just said, preached in the synagogues. He preached in the open air by the river at Philippi. He preached in the streets while walking along it to that slave girl. He preached in the prison, also in Philippi. In Athens, he preached in the marketplace. He preached in court, in front of the Sanhedrin at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 23. He preached on a ship on the way to Rome. Every opportunity he had, he preached. I know I fall short of that. He preached to people from all walks of life. So that means that the gospel is for everyone, regardless of who you are, how poor you are, how rich you are, how evil you've been, whether you're in prison or not in prison. He preached to Jews and Gentiles, crowds as well as individuals. Philippi, he preached to Lydia, a businesswoman. He preached to that girl, a fortune teller. In Athens, he preached to philosophers. He preached to King Agrippa. He preached to a government official, Felix. And in Philippi as well, and other places, he preached to prisoners and to prison officials. Paul, in verse 11, tells us that he hoped to visit the people at Rome. I long to see you, because I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Unfortunately, he never visited there as a free man. He arrived there as a prisoner, but that didn't prevent him from preaching. He was permitted to dwell by himself with a soldier who guarded him. Can you imagine Paul not using that opportunity to preach to the soldier? When you consider what he's gone through to preach the gospel over the years. We're told he preached to the leaders of the Jews. He preached, it says it, to all who came near him, regardless of who they were. So this message, if this message is what it says it is, if this is a message that's worth preaching, telling other people about, surely it's a message worth listening to and taking to heart. The gospel of truth. Paul, in three of his letters, calls it the gospel of truth. The truth of the gospel, he says. It's not, as a certain ex-US president said, fake news. It's good news. It's true news. Because its central subject is Christ, who we're told in John 14 is the truth. John says in chapter 1 of his gospel, the Word, that's the living Word, Christ, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the purpose of this gospel, the purpose of this good news, is to bring people into a true and right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is this gospel? Well, one of the best descriptions, I think, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul wrote there, he says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Don't forget, the scriptures that the people had in those days would be the Old Testament prophets, and the laws and all that, where the gospel was preached beforehand. So he died for our sins according to the scriptures. But then it says he was buried. He was dead. He was buried in a sealed grave, a sealed tomb. But it didn't end there, did it? He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And over 500 people witnessed that. Yet people don't believe it. And through this good news that we're saved, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. One prison chaplain told some inmates once, he is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. So, the gospel, it started with God, it originates with God. Forget the preacher standing in the pulpit. But you could, if you want to listen to this sermon again, if it's been recorded, then you can check what I've said, check the references I give. You can do the same with Stephen and other people who preach from this pulpit. It was promised by God, preached by the prophets, preached by Moses, preached to Abraham, preached by David in all those wonderful psalms. There are many people today who will admit that they only like to read the New Testament. They don't like the Old Testament. But the Old Testament has the same message as the New Testament, only put in a different way. They say the New Testament reveals what the Old Testament tends to conceal. I think that's the way you put it. I'm not too sure. It's a powerful message, living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it can penetrate even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's a message that, if accepted, gives victory over Satan. Remember when Jesus was tempted? He said one word to him, didn't he? Away. And the devil left him. The writer of Psalms 18 tells us, he, through his word, delivers me from my enemies. That's whoever that wrote that psalm. It's a message of love, of grace. God's love, which we don't deserve. Message about the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, the second person of the Trinity, God. God the Son. What he's done for us in giving us salvation to those who come to him in full repentance. He's taken the punishment. There was no other good enough to take that punishment for our sins. And he's gone to be with his Father. So it's what he will do as well. He's preparing a place for all those who truly believe. And he's speaking to the God, makes intercession for us. He's the one mediator between us and him. Praying for each one of us. Speaking on our behalf to his Father. Message of separation. Jesus said to his disciples, I chose you out of the world. And then when he was praying to his Father, towards the end of his earthly life, he says, they're not of this world, just as I am not of this world. People could see in Jesus something different. Do people see in us anything different? Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of eternal life. And it's not just for certain ones, it's for everyone, this message. And that's our place as a church. We have these posters on the corner of the ground there, telling people about the good news, telling people what the gospel is all about. So I do pray that each one of us here will have heard the voice of God and responded to it in the way that God would have us. Amen.